Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Let me read you out of Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author or the originator, and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your minds. It says souls, it's talking about in your minds. How many know that's where you get discouraged, is in your mind? In your mind. Whew. Let us run with endurance the race. Consider him. Consider what he did, lest you get weary and discouraged in your minds. Let's remember our theme verse. I said it last week out of 1 Samuel 2. It says, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Holy Spirit, help me say what you want me to say today. Let's hear from Father's heart today. How many know I could take off all kinds of directions from these scriptures? And believe me, I've tried to in the last few days. I've come up with about 38 sermons out of these two scriptures. Hi, Pat. And I want to hear what the Spirit says today. So part of this he'll probably be giving me while I'm saying. But what I'm saying isn't what's important. What you're hearing is what's important. So say, Holy Spirit, give me ears to hear what you say to me. What if, now I know we use some of these verses to always try to get our flock to do more and try to get them to be more, and I kind of want to think a different direction a little bit today, because I think if we start thinking right, we'll start doing right. See, I don't think stuff happens from the outside. I think it happens from the inside. And when I change my inside, everything, it's amazing how everything on the outside gets. Somebody told me the other day, said, oh, you're a lot nicer than you were a year ago. And I said, well, maybe you just grew a little bit. Well, hopefully I am, and hopefully I will be, but... You know, I always just said, oh, you're preaching so much better. Well, maybe you're just starting to hear. Maybe you're hearing better. When we honor the things of God, he gives us honor. Now, we're not under the old covenant, so this isn't a straighten up or I'm going to knock your head off thing. No, he's already shown us honor. He gave us his son Jesus, and he's already given us favor. He's already made us righteous. He's already done that for us. So I want to value him. And I want to respect him and the things of him. So, but I was reading this verse here. What if running your race, I mean, the course that God has lined out for your life, the fulfilling of your dreams and your visions. How many of you have ever had some dreams? Oh, I'd like to have a nice car. I'd like to have a nice house. I'd like to be closer to God. I want to do something big. Dreams and visions. And what if running our race, what if allowing him to fulfill all those dreams and all those visions in us, all those accomplishments in life that make us feel full of joy? And you ever just do something and it just made you, I mean, you were so happy with yourself. You were so happy with what you accomplished. Am I talking to the right people? That you were just flooded with joy. You were just excited. Nobody? Oh, okay. What if that is running our race? And what if by us doing that and allowing God to do that in us, it brings him honor? What if? We would teach these young people not to be limited in their mind like we are, but to believe God for big things. Well, I'm not limited. Well, yeah, you are. Sin has limited you. And sin consciousness limits you. Woo, this is getting weird because this isn't even the direction I was going with this. I heard Creflo Dollar say something, and I'm going to use something that will probably mess my message up for next week, but you'll forget it by then anyway. He said he was on the Autobahn in Germany. And he said, you know, how many know the Autobahn, there's no speed limit. You can go 120, 130 miles an hour, there's no speed limit. They won't give you a ticket. And he said, the first time I was on that, he said, I was so excited about being able to just go 120. I was free. I could go as fast as I wanted to go. He said, but the law in my mind wouldn't let me enjoy it. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, boy, 120 miles an hour. And I go, well, man, I don't want to drive 120 miles an hour. Well, that's crazy. I would. And I go, that's what he's talking about. We let our sin consciousness stop us from letting God be all he wants to be in our life. But you see, the old covenant was, the Mosaic covenant was law. It was bondage. The new covenant is freedom. I'm going to talk about that next week, maybe. The new covenant is freedom. The new covenant is grace. The old covenant, God said, you do this and I'll do this. How many know that's true? You do this and these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Do you know what the new covenant says? I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do so much of this that it'll make you do that. Oh, well. Grace. I just got to thinking about that. And then I remembered in John. I remembered in John. What did I remember in John, Lord? I remembered in John. He said, in John chapter 15, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, You with me so far? I didn't lose you. Punch the person next to you and say, don't doze off now. This one's important. And my words abide in you. You will ask what you need. I just want you to meet my needs. No, he said, you'll ask what you desire. Whew. I got to say that again. If you abide in me, I'm just talking to me for a minute. Y'all just do. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. I love this next verse. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. What's the fruit he's talking about bearing? The things I desire and the things I ask him for and the things he's able to do in my life. This isn't the time to doze, by the way. We'll get back to it. What if he's glorified? He's glorified. Now, he's not just saying for me to be a wild donkey and me to run all these different directions and me to be greedy and me to do all this stuff. But what did he start off? He said, if you'll abide in me and let my word abide in you. You better tell me where I'm going, Holy Spirit. Ask what you will. Ask what you desire. And I'll do it. So Daddy will be happy. He'll be glorified. He'll go, woo! You awake back there now? Look what I was just able to do in Kenny's life. What if all those dreams and all those desires aren't evil? How many here ever just wanted some nicer things? Be honest. How many here just thought, well, I just would like to have a little bit more money left at the end of the month? How many know we have plenty of month left at the end of the money? How many ever just thought, you know, I would just like to do some big things? And what happened? Now be honest, what happened when you started thinking those things? Some religious thoughts came to you. Oh no, I shouldn't, that's fleshly. I shouldn't want that, that's fleshly. That's carnal. Folks, I hate to tell you, but we live in a physical, tangible world. And when God started this, he made everything here so we could live comfortably. What if when you desired that better clothes, better house, better whatever, what if that wasn't an evil desire? What if maybe God put that in there? Making you think a little bit? Huh? The next few weeks we're going to loosen this mind up a little bit. The only way the devil's able to stop God from doing in my life what he wants me to do is for me to let those things and those thinkings and those things I've been taught and those things that I've learned that were wrong, let them hold me in bondage. Let me tell you something. Bondage is not from God. See, I grew up in a church that, well, I didn't grow up in it. I went to it once in a while. But the church experience I had growing up, everything was, I was no good. I was bad. If I didn't straighten this up, I was going to go to hell. If I did this wrong, I was going to hell. And even when I came to church, I would feel like I was still going to hell. And when we took communion, we we don't you take of this unworthily, and we were all unworthy, and so we went ahead and took it because everybody was watching. But I remember thinking, oh God, I'm going to go to hell for taking communion. Bondage. Bondage. Anytime somebody tells you, this is, unless you do it the way I'm doing it, you're not going to make it, get away from them. Run. Run. Jesus said, I came to make you free. I didn't come. I came to set you free. I came to break those chains off of you. I didn't come so you'd be a wild donkey running around out here doing your own thing. No, but when you get into my program, when you enter into this narrow gate we were talking about a few weeks ago, whenever you let me in that place that's reserved in your heart for me, that you have something else there. Now, when that starts happening, woo, it's going to break loose for you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You know, I remember feeling, and I'm saying this because, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but last week somebody raised their hand when I said, who doesn't think you're right with God? You don't think you're saved? And I tried to call you this week, but I never could get through to you. But somebody raised their hand, and I knew he was saved. But something in his thinking was still making him feel unworthy. I've been thinking about that. Because there's been times since I got saved and got set free that I went through things in my life that I thought I was afraid I was going to go to hell. And I could trace it back to some kind of bondage that had been put on me. Jesus said, I came to bring you life. And life more abundantly. What if you desiring some of those things aren't an evil thing? What if God put those things in your heart? Did you ever notice you always want to do better? Huh? You always want to be more. Am I right? You're always reaching out for some. That's the way God designed us. Now, we're not supposed to let that get all out of balance to where we're greedy and we're just going after stuff and we're just, you know, and that's what happened with the faith movement back in the 70s. That's, you know, and that's why everybody said, oh, bad, bad, bad. You know, no, it wasn't bad. It was good. We just didn't hear it exactly right. What if that's how we please Him is by faith? What if that's what honors Him? Is for me to use my faith and believe Him for things. Do you know what I started doing way back in the 80s? We were in Arkansas. We went down to Arkansas and we took everything we owned in a Ryder truck, man. And it wasn't packed full. And I had two little boys and they were hungry all the time, man. And I decided to start using this faith that I'd been hearing about. And so I started, and I still do that, I kept something I was believing God for in the physical, and I kept something I was believing God for in the spiritual. And my spiritual thing was more important than my physical, but I didn't leave it out because He said, as your faith is, so be it. So I learned that as I'm going after God, as I'm seeking God, as I'm seeking to be closer and be more to Him, I can believe for some of this other stuff and He'll bring it into my life because I'm focused on Him. If you abide in me and I abide in you, my words abide in you. What if running my race, to the fullest, trying to be all I can be, trying to do all I can do, what if that brings glory to God? What would Robert Shuler say? He said, I would rather believe God for a lot and fail than not to believe Him for anything and win. Something like that. What if God has a call on your life? We'll just talk for a few more minutes and I'll quit, because what if God has a calling? What if He had a plan? What if He really did have a plan for you before you were ever born? Do you believe that? That's what the Bible says. It says, before you were ever conceived, I had my mark on you, buddy. Hey, old gal, I had you pegged before you were ever born. I got plans for you. And they're big plans. Now, the devil's tried to do everything in your life to keep those plans from coming to pass, but it's not too late. If you'll still believe me, you can be just like Joshua, and you can look at, or Caleb, and you can look at that mountain and say, that's my mountain, I'm going after it. What if? See, what we've always thought is callings meant you were a pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, pastor. Oh, I forgot pastor, man. That's the most important calling. That's the most important one, Chris. We think calling, but you know, the truth is, now listen, if you're called to be one of those, you need to be the best one you can be. Let me say, I got to get off here for a minute. Lord, help me remember where I was going. Either that or steer me the right way. I had a guy come to me the other day and he said, I'm called to the ministry. I said, you are? I'm called to preach. And before I said that, I said, God doesn't call people to preach. He calls people to win souls. Huh? Then you can reach them by preaching if you got that gift. I'm still trying to get that gift, by the way. Let me ask you something. Are you called? Some of you in here, some of you young ones, you'll be called to be one of the fivefold ministry. I'd ask you this if you're called. Somebody said, well, I'm called to be a teacher. Well, okay. When's the last time you won somebody to the Lord? Well, I'm gonna get a crowd and then I'm going to preach. No. When's the last time you won somebody to the Lord? If you're called to be a minister, if you're called to be one of the fivefold ministry, then before anything else, you need to be a soul winner. Is that old me or old my? If you're not winning a soul, all you're doing is teaching somebody else to be like you. You want to have God's anointing? You want things to really turn? Then you start winning souls. You start getting people saved. Now, I used to say something like that and I'd get shouted down, but evidently the body is, we've shifted somewhere. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't care if you believe it or not. You can be wrong if you want to. God's called us. He said, you go into the world and tell everybody about me. You don't go tell them how to prosper. You don't go teach them how to do this certain thing this way. You don't go tell them what. No, you go tell them about me. Get them saved. Yeah. I'm just telling you. Somebody listen to this on TV. You've been preaching, so I just can't get a crowd. Well, start soul winning. Besides that, when you lead somebody to the Lord, it does something to you. Hi, my name's Hank. What's yours? Scott. Hey, Scott. Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? Have you? Well, good. I hope you strengthen that relationship, and I just hope. If they say no, like Nathan would, if I say, you know, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? Well, let me tell you. If you'll just give your life to God, He wants to do some big things in your life. The Bible says if we'll just give our heart to Him. He says if we'll just confess Him with our mouth. If He says we'll just ask Him into our hearts that He'll save us. If we'll believe on Him. Talking to somebody the other day and they said, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, there's a difference in believing in Jesus, believing that He's real, and making Him the Lord of your life. See, what I'm saying is you need to go, and I'm hard on fivefold ministry because we got fivefold ministry doing everything but winning souls. I'm not saying you're not supposed to teach all this other stuff because we are. But if you're not a soul winner, you're just barking at the moon. And you're just feeding your ego. How many people watched me? How many people were in the service? Every time I run on a preacher, he goes, how many are you running now? So I don't know, I don't count. There's empty seats, so there's not enough. Huh? Boy, how did I get off on that? Somebody needed to hear this. And you don't like it. But when you think about it a little while, the Holy Spirit's going to really make something come alive on the inside of you. But here's the thing. Most of you in here today will never be one of the fivefold ministry. Huh? You'll never be the fivefold ministry. I always was afraid to answer the call because I was afraid he'd send me to Africa or Egypt or someplace and, you know, be a missionary or something. And somebody here was that way too. But see, the truth is most of you will never be in the fivefold ministry, but you're called. You got a call on your life. See, some of you called to be a doctor. Some of you called to be a nurse. Some of you called to be a lawyer. Huh? Some of you called to be a successful business person. Are you alive? Some of you are called. See, some of you called to be a factory worker. Some of you called to have your own business. Somebody's called to be an executive. But all those things are our assignments in life. And let me just say, as you're called to do all those things, you're given a platform so that you can tell people about Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying, young people, what are you called to be? And old people, what are you called to be? Do you want to do it to the best of your ability? Then realize what God's doing and that He's given you a bigger platform. I learned something about platforms. The only reason God gives you a platform is so you can pull somebody else up on the platform with you. I was in a restaurant, been 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, the busboy came out of the back of the restaurant and came over and said, are you Pastor Hank? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, I watch you every Sunday night. I watch you. Thank you for the messages and all this. And I'm talking to him and visiting with him a little bit. And then a little bit later, a guy walks up to me and says, are you Pastor Hank? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm so-and-so, and I'm president of such-and-such college. And here's my card. And I watch you on TV and just wanted to tell you that whatever. I didn't put all that together until later on. I was sitting there and I went, wow, you know, I said, man, a college president came up to me. And he heard how I butcher the English and he still came up to me. And God said, yeah, but he said that busboy came up to you too. And he said, whenever, that's your platform. He said, the only reason you have a platform, said it isn't to feed your ego, said you have a platform so you can pull somebody else up on the platform with you. Huh? I'm saying this because young people, middle-aged people, old people, and everybody I left out, God's got a plan for you. He's got a calling for you. We have folks that are in the ages of their times of their life when other people are just quitting and deciding, well, am I going to go to the nursing home or going to do this? But they're going back to school, and they're still trying to do new things, and they're still trying to dream. And what I'm saying is, run your race. If you're called to be a lawyer, be the best one you can be. A doctor, be the best one you can be. Somebody said, oh, a doctor wouldn't go, doctors wouldn't. Hey, man, you know, we used to think in the church world that if we didn't go to a doctor, God would heal us because we didn't go to a doctor. If we didn't take medicine, God would heal us because we didn't take medicine. And if we did, it was a mark of weak faith. Can I say something? If it wasn't for doctors and medicine, most Christians would be dead. There wouldn't be any of us around. I tell people this. They say, well, I'm going to have this treatment. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to say, well, hey, that's all part of the stripes of Jesus. Now, it's better. Start believing now that you don't have to have any of that. Young people, don't wait till you're 60 or 50 or 60 and then start believing for your health. Start believing for it right now. Start confessing it right now. I'm healthy. I'm going to live to be 120 years old. I'm healthy. Sickness doesn't come in my body. Start telling that now and believing that now. But God gave. If it has to do with healing you, the devil didn't have anything to do with it. Boy, I'll get the letters now. Maybe Keith can cut that part out. I don't care. Be wrong if you want to. I am a lot, so you can be too. Huh? If it has to do with healing, then it's because of the stripes. If somebody got the knowledge to make a serum or to make a medicine, it was because Jesus took those stripes for our healing. If a doctor got smart enough that he can operate on you and do these little minute things inside of you, then God gave him that knowledge. We just don't give God honor and credit. I'm just saying, run your race. Glorify God to run your race. Let be all you can be. I don't care if you're a hamburger flipper. Be all you can be. I was a hamburger flipper once. Well, more than once. And hey, I'd go do it now. No big deal. But when I was cooking hamburgers, the most anybody had cooked on that grill was 20 hamburgers at a time. I said, I can do more than that. And I was cooking 36 hamburgers at a time on that grill. Huh? When I worked in the machine shops, I worked on a machine, and I was looking at the quotas and how much everybody had gotten done on that job. And I said, well, man, I can do three times that. And I started doing it, and I was still a hippie. And I started doing that, and I started working. But before it was over, they wouldn't let nobody else have my job. And it was a machine that nobody wanted to work. It was a Blanchard, Kenny. Nobody wanted to get close to that Blanchard. I said, man, these parts here, you're only running 100. I can run 300. And I'd run 300 and be sitting down about 30 minutes before I had to punch out. You see what I'm saying? Be the best you can be. And let God do the most He can do. Let me read you a couple verses here. Boy, I think I've got a sermon left for next week. Now, you know, we know that Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I want to look at this a different way for just a second here, and I've got to quit here in a couple minutes, but we look at that like straighten up, do right, keep my word. Folks, that's not how Daddy talks to me. I'm sorry. I used to think it was, and when I thought it was, everything I read in here sounded that way to me. Everything anybody said, I interpreted it through that mindset. What if he's saying, hey, if you love me, Hank, if you love me, you'll operate my word. If you love me, Hank, you'll make it work for you just like I made it work for me. Keep my commandment. Yeah, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll take my word and work it like I worked it, what did he just get through telling us? He just got through telling us, if you believe in me, the things that I did, you'll be able to do, and greater things than these will you be able to do. What if he's saying, Hank, if you'll take my commandments, if you'll work my word and believe, I'll make sure it does the same thing for you that it did for me. And I'm sending our Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in you to make sure it happens. You know, I love that song we sang a while ago, Holy Spirit, come. But that's unscriptural. He's already here. If you came in, he came in with you. Huh? Because he's inside you. He's abiding in you. Well, okay, you didn't believe that one. Let me read you another one. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He who keeps my commandments loves me. He who works my word loves me. He who believes and operates loves me. And he who loves me, he who's operating in faith, he who's taken my word and applying it to his life, he who's taken my word and causing things to happen, my Father will love him too. And I'll come and manifest myself to him. Is that maybe a different way of looking at it? Instead of somebody cracking the whip, telling you do what you're supposed to do? Well, if you love him, and if you abide in him and his words are abiding in you, you're going to do what you're supposed to do. Maybe not at first, but you keep on till you get there. Hank, if you have my word in you and you operate it, and you do what it says, and you believe what it says, you love me. Hank, if you're moving in faith, if you're believing in me and what I did, if you're believing and you're working this thing, Paul said, let this mind be in you that was in Jesus. And a couple of verses then he says, work out your own salvation. He's not talking about working your way to heaven. He's talking about working your way to life. How do you work out life? How do you work out the things in life? You use your faith. Huh? You use your faith. And the things that aren't God, you use your faith and you get them out of your life. Well, I thought maybe the last few weeks was enough foundation for that, but we'll go back, I guess, and dig some more foundation, you know. Let me read you that Hebrews 12, 1, 3, and I'll quit. I'm out of time. I'm going to read it to you out of God's Word translation. It says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us, and we must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. Not like that. We must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy that was ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. Then he received the highest position in heaven, the one right next to the throne of God. He said, think about Jesus, who endured opposition from sinners so that you don't become tired and give up. Do you know the only way the devil can stop you from running your race, stop God from doing in your life what he wants to do? The only thing that can stop that is if you give up. I'm gonna make a statement. If you got your eyes on Jesus and his purpose, and you're wanting what he wants for your life, you won't get tired, you won't get weary, and you won't give up. If you take your eyes off of him, you will. See, if you're looking at all you're doing and all this stuff and you're thinking on all that and you're doing all that and that's what you get your eyes on, you'll get wore plumb out. But you get your eyes on Jesus. What's that mean, get your eyes on Jesus? That means abide in me and let my words abide in you. That means, hey, take my word and work it. That means get your eyes on Jesus, live in faith, not in what you can do, but live in faith in what he did. Get your eyes on Jesus. If you put your eyes on Jesus, you won't get tired. You won't give up. Somebody said, well, it's just, everything's just keeping up on me. Somebody told me this a while back. I said, I'm just not going to church anymore. I'm just not going anymore. I said, get your eyes on Jesus. Oh, I've got my eyes on Jesus. I love the Lord. I said, no, you don't got your eyes on him or you wouldn't be quitting. You wouldn't be giving up. Huh? Besides that, he didn't give up on you. You shouldn't give up on him. Huh? Well, I had some good stuff here. Let me read you Philippians 3 real quick. And then I'll quit, promise. I got to quit now. I'm 2 minutes away. I'm going to read this, verses 12 through 16. I'm going to read them out of God's Word translation also. It says, it's not that I've already reached the goal or have already completed the course, but I run to win that which Jesus Christ has already won for me. You see that? You're going after what God already provided for you. He said, brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my strides, and I run straight towards the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers me in Christ Jesus. That's powerful. Whoever has mature faith should think this way. You hearing me? Winston Churchill said, if you're going through hell, don't stay there. We thought whoever wrote that song did that, but He said, whenever things get tough, whenever they aren't going my way, whenever I start to think, I just don't look back. Said, I just take bigger strides. I start running towards the goal harder. I just start running after Jesus more. Huh? See, let me just say this real quick and I'll finish this verse. It's easier to get over in sympathy and feeling sorry for yourself and getting other people to feel sorry for you. And we learn how to maneuver each other that, because if I can get you to feel sorry enough about my situation, you'll give me something or you'll help me. It's easier to get over in sympathy than it is to get over in faith. Because faith, I don't tell you what I'm going through. Faith, I don't sit down and ask you to boo-hoo with me. You hear me? Faith, I go to God. Father, your word says this. And this is what I believe. This is the part I wanted to get to here, though. It says, whoever has mature faith should think this way. How many know it's easy? Well, that's the way you're supposed to think. I love this. It says, and if you think differently, God will show you how to think. Whew. However, we should be guided by what we've learned so far. Do what you know to do and keep going. Do what you know to do and keep pressing. It don't seem like I'm getting anywhere. Well, take bigger steps, baby. There's been some times, even lately, that I've had to say, Jesus, I'm coming after you. Huh? Not a while back, the devil came to me and was telling me I was going to go to hell. And I mean, that just staggered me. And so finally, I was sitting there praying one day and talking to God. I said, well, God, if that's the truth, then there's going to be somebody in hell that loves you with all their heart. They won't let you in hell that way, honey. Huh? You got the blood of Jesus on your heart, man. You can't go nowhere but heaven. They won't let you in hell. Huh? Oh, I love that, though. He says, this is the way you ought to think. Man, you ought to have faith. You ought to do it. Run. I'm not always that strong, are you? But if you don't think that way, God will show you how to think. Huh? Well, when are we going to learn? When are we going to learn that we just go, God, I don't understand this, and I don't know how to do this, and I don't feel nothing. It doesn't look like nothing. But would you teach me? Would you show me? Huh? I had to just the other day tell God, I said, God, you know, I'm not thinking right. Would you show me how to think? And even yesterday, I was thinking about something, and I got caught up in thinking about this, and I said, whoa, God, you never thought about me that way, and I don't have a right to think about anybody else that way. Woo, isn't God good? Did I wake you up? Then everybody stand up. I don't know how to end this, because I only got through 3 verses, so guess you get the next page and a half next week. How about that? God wants a relationship with you. He isn't asking you to be perfect. He's just asking you to want to be. And He knows you can't be, or I can't be, so he sent the one that was perfect for me. So now I don't have to believe in what Hank can do. I just have to believe in what Jesus did. Everybody bow your head. Everybody in here, say this prayer with me. If you're here today and you don't know you're saved, say this prayer. And then after we dismiss here, you come on down here. We want to pray for you and give you some information to help you get on your way. But right where you are, and I want everybody to pray this prayer. But if you don't know you're saved, pray this prayer. Father, I want to be saved right now. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I give you my life. I ask you to do something with it. Thank you for saving me. I'm going to live for you if you help me. If you prayed that prayer and meant it, something happens, because He said, if you'll just give yourself to Him, if you'll just call on His name, just call on Him for help, He'll be there to help you. Isn't that good? If you prayed that, I want you to come down after, as soon as I dismiss here. But I want to speak a blessing on you. But I want to tell you something God said to me the other day. And then I've had lots of things that confirm this. But He said, Hank, there's hundreds of people out there that are ready to come to church, but they don't know where to go. And they're afraid if they go somewhere, They want to be right, but they don't want to go somewhere and invest their life into something and then end up finding out they're wrong. But he said, I'm going to begin to fill up the seats in your auditorium. But you have to put me in their heart. And everything you do has to be to lead them closer to me. And here's what he told me to tell you. He said, so you tell the people, it's time to start asking people again to come to church. You tell the people, it's time to start remembering again how to lead people to the Lord. You tell the people, if you'll tell them, they'll go out and they'll begin to do it. I'm telling you. It's going to be easier for you to ask people to come to church than it ever has been in your life, than it ever has been in the history of time. Listen to me. Listen to me. Because the Holy Spirit's moving. I believe we're at the end of the end. And even if we're not, He's still moving. And He wants everybody to come to Him. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So I'm telling you, if you can get them in here, even while you're learning how to get them saved, and if you get them saved in the week, then you get them to come to church with you, because we need to help them grow, and we need to help them get closer to God. Okay? He said, if you'll tell them, they'll do it. So I'm telling you, and I believe He'll spark your heart. How many ever was going to witness to somebody or invite somebody to church and you kind of, oh, I'm kind of nervous about doing that? Just ask the Lord, help me. Lord, help me think like I'm supposed to think. Lord, help me. Help me be a soul winner. Help me invite people. Show me how. I don't know how. I'm not comfortable doing that. He'll show you. He'll show you. Now listen, that's our mandate. He said, it's time. They're ready to come in. Tell the people to ask them. You're going to see somebody this week and probably a whole bunch of somebody. Invite them to come. You better learn how to ask somebody, how to show somebody how to ask Jesus into their heart too, because you're going to have opportunity to do that. Let me say this. Somebody thought, well, I don't ever lead anybody to the Lord when we're talking. No, if you're part of this church, And you support this church financially and physically with your body, and hey, you're getting people saved. You're getting people saved, okay? Because we're getting people saved. We already had 27 people saved this month. And today is what, the 12th? Last month, what, 47 last month saved. So you got a part, okay? You got a part. But it doesn't feel as good as if you lead somebody yourself to the Lord. Okay? I hope something I said went together today. I love you. And I promise to spend every bit of my effort going after God to give you something from His heart for the rest of my life, the rest of the time I'm here. Okay, I'm going to try as hard as I know to try. You need to get some folks in here to hear it. Okay, and we're going to see people saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Hey, I speak God's blessing on you. I believe Him to touch your life. I believe Him to do something in your life this week that is so spectacular that you know it was only Him. He's the only one that could have done it. And when He does, you give Him praise and glory. But I'm believing Him to draw you closer to Him this week than you've ever been in your life, and to do big things in your life. Everybody say, I got a call, and I'm going to live it. I got a race to run, and I'm going to run it. Now tell somebody around you love them and hug their neck, shake their hand. If it's your first time here, I'd love to give you, shake your hand, give you some information about the church.